This morning, I'd like to read something from 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verses 1 through 3. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. And then verse 5 says, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency. I shared this verse with my daughter years ago when she was engaged and she met Isaac and they were dating for a while. And I told her, you have to kind of sense the sense of humor that God has in these verses. He says in verse 1, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, you men know what it's like when you're courting your future wife, how her in-laws kept a sharp eye on you, make sure no serious hanky-panky was going on. But now in verse 3, he says, after you're married, what happened? What happened between verses 1 and 3, where now he's telling the husbands, come back to your wife again. Keep the marriage going alive. Then he goes on to say how Satan can definitely get into your home if we're not careful. And so, Irene and I, on July the 11th, we're going to hold a class on Tuesday nights. It's in your bulletin, starting July the 11th at 6:30. And it's called The Art of Marriage. We volunteer with Family Life, and we do these events once a year. They come to Charleston, and we love helping people in their marriages. So, we're looking for 10 people to sign up right now. The cost is $35. But it covers workbook and a small group time that we'll be meeting on Tuesday nights. But we're very serious about this. We're very serious about the home and about helping people in their marriages. I don't care if your spouse can come with you. If only you can come, come anyway. And so I think I jumped a little ahead of myself there. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. But after church, you want to pull us aside and talk to us more about it. We'll give you some more information on it. But we're definitely looking for at least 10 people to sign up, or 10 couples, rather. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you, and I just want to pray that today your Spirit would guide us, be with us, Lord, watch over us. Help us during this time to tune out the world. And I just pray that our focus will be on you today, that you will receive all the glory and all the praise from our lives that you died to redeem on that cross nearly 2,000 years ago. Help us be the men and women you called us to be, Lord. Forgive us where we've not always measured up. We thank you for your grace, always there to help us get back up on our feet and continue in our journey towards home. We love you, and I pray that you honor this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As Americans, our freedom was fought for long before recent wars of which America was a part, wars like World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, war in Iraq, Afghanistan, war against ISIS. People actually started fighting for our freedom with the American Revolutionary War, also known as the American War of Independence. It was a war between Great Britain and her 13 colonies, which declared independence and became the United States of America. Did you know that four battles in that war were fought in South Carolina? The Battle of Sullivan's Island, the Battle of Charleston, the Battle of Camden, and the Battle of Cowpens. American battle deaths during the Revolutionary War were 4,435. This July 4th weekend, I want to talk to you about celebrating America's freedom. If you have an outline, if you've got a bulletin, you should have an outline inside. Take that outline out. You can follow along as I share some thoughts with you about this morning. Celebrating America's freedom. First of all, I think we need to recognize what is right with America. We hear a lot of what is wrong with America, And I'm guilty about talking about that as well. And there are some things that are wrong, but we need to recognize what is right. America's not perfect. No country is. But I do get tired of always hearing the bad and negative things about our nation. It amazes me that some of those who don't like our nation's policies threaten to leave the country if the policies aren't changed. But you know what? I've never seen one of them leave. Because I fully believe they realize that America is one of the best nations for them to live in and prosper. They won't get that anywhere else. So we need to remind ourselves what is right with America. The first thing is this: we value and provide freedom for people. We value and provide freedom for people. Folks, freedom is biblical. It's a godly concept. God created us free. He gave us a free will. He gave us freedom to choose Him or reject Him. And God wants people to live freely, not enslaved in any way. Look at this verse out of Micah from the Old Testament, Micah chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "All the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All wars will stop, and military training will come to an end. Everyone will live quietly in their own homes in peace and prosperity, for there will be nothing to fear." Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I can't wait until that day arrives. It speaks of a time when everyone will enjoy the freedom that God wants them to enjoy and with which He wants us to be responsible. America has embraced, developed, fought for, protected, and offered freedom to anyone and everyone who desires it. As you know, our nation was founded on freedom, and it is stated that way in three of the big documents of our country. In the Declaration of Independence, it says this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty," underline that, "liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Liberty is freedom. In the Constitution of the United States, it says, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide of the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty," freedom, "to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America." And then in the Bill of Rights, "Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." America was founded on freedom for those who live here. And on the 4th of July weekend, and on the 4th of July, we should celebrate the fact that America provides freedom and values freedom for all people. Folks, you know, it's not that way for everybody in the world. Many people are oppressed and only dream about the freedom that we have in our nation. Another thought about what is right with America is this: secondly, we welcome others into our country. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 10, it says this: "And on that day, says the Lord Almighty, each of you will invite your neighbor into your home to share your peace and prosperity." People will invite others into their home to share peace and prosperity. Folks, our nation has shared our blessings by welcoming others into our nation to become American citizens, to live here, to work here, to enjoy life here. And from Emily Lazarus's poem, The New Colossus, inscribed on the Statue of Liberty, it says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." Since 1820, about 200 million people have legally immigrated into our country. That's about 3,000 people per day, 365 days a year for the past 185 years. 100 people per hour. I believe America should continue to allow immigrants into our country that come through legally. I know tons, millions of people who would like just to come here tomorrow. It can't work that way. But when they come through the system, I welcome them here to our nation. You know why? Because a generation or two or three, four, maybe five, your forefathers and mothers came as immigrants to this country, and that's why you're here today. It's one other good thing to celebrate that is right with our nation. Another thing that we celebrate about what's right with America is because we offer opportunities for success and excellence. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, it says this, "Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles." God wants our behavior to be excellent. That includes at work, at school. We're to strive for excellence in everything we do. And in doing so, we provide opportunities for others to do the same. Our nation allows the opportunity to be successful for all who want it. Andrew Carnegie came to America literally penniless and worked hard with excellence to become one of the richest people that ever lived in this nation. He took nothing and made it into something. Back in 1977, Mr. and Mrs. Fields baked and sold some cookies. Need I say more? They took advantage of an opportunity given to them in a free nation. Arno Penzias, born in 1933, his family immigrated to America when he was 7 years old and penniless. But it didn't stop him. He worked hard, had excellent work ethics. He became a world-famous astrophysicist. I don't know what they do, but it sounds impressive. But whatever it was, Dr. Penzias did it well enough to earn a Nobel Peace Prize in 1978. I could call your name. You're a businessman, an engineer, teacher, sales, administrator. You might be mechanic and insurance sales, a hairstylist, a nurse, a doctor, a therapist. You may work on a farm. You may be retired, working from home. You're a caregiver. You're a chef, a financial advisor, an administrative assistant. Because how our nation is set up is that we have many opportunities. And whatever opportunity you find yourself in, do it with excellence. Because America gives us that opportunity. The sheer fact that there is an American dream says a lot about our nation. You never hear anything about a Russian dream or a China dream or a North Korean dream or the Cuban dream. You know why? Because it doesn't exist. They're communist countries who oppress their people. They don't enjoy the freedom that God has allowed us to have in this nation. Another thing that is right with America, we help others in need. In Psalm 10, verse 18, it says, "You," and the psalm writer is talking about God, he says, "You, God, you will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed so people can no longer terrify them." Folks, America has helped her own and other nations many times, sometimes on an ongoing basis. We've helped with money, with resources, with military support. Governments may speak badly about our government and our nation, but when they have needs, who do they call on? America. America helps others in need, and we are part of that process. We are blessed by God to be able to do that individually as members of our nation. Another thing that is right with America, we have recognized our need for God. We've recognized our need for God. Notice I put it there in the past tense, recognized, past tense. In Psalm 33, verse 12, it says this, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." That verse puts it in present tense. God wants to be the God of every nation, always. I believe our nation used to do that fairly well. I don't know that we do that all that well now. There were times in our nations when we and the people of our nation recognized our need for God far more than we do now. Now we think we don't need anyone else to make it in life. We think we are self-sufficient. When somebody lets me know that they're self-sufficient, I just ask them, how's that working out for you? How well do you sleep at night? How's your conscience? At some point, life will realize, help you realize, and make you realize that we really can't do it on our own. Francis Scott Key was a young Washington attorney who, during the Battle of 1812, sailed to the British fleet to obtain the release of a captured American. Key was detained by the British and witnessed the bombardment of Fort McHenry during the nights of September 13th and 14th, 1814. Defended under the command of Major George Armistead, the fort withstood the attack, and the sight of the American flag flying at dawn's early light inspired Key to write what became our national anthem. Most of us know the first verse by heart. What we don't know is the fourth verse. It says this, "O thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." I grew up in Baltimore. I've taken many field trips as an elementary school student to Fort McHenry. It is moving to see that battleground, that fortress. And they put this in a movie version of exactly what happened that night. It is moving to know what Key witnessed when he wrote our national anthem. In 1861, Congress enacted legislation that would put those words, "In God we trust," on certain coins. It wasn't until 1955 that Congress mandated that these words be put on all coins and paper money. At that time, Representative Bennett said this, In these days when imperialistic and materialistic communism seeks to attack and to destroy freedom, it is proper for us to seek continuously for ways to strengthen the foundation of our freedom. At the base of our freedom is our faith in God and the desire of Americans to live by His will and His guidance. As long as this country trusts God, it will prevail. And Congress codified "In God We Trust" as our national motto since 1814 and officially made it known that way in July of 1956. Folks, it's time for America to remember where we came from, who blessed us as we started as a nation. It's time for us to say again, more than just a motto, "In God we trust," that's something that we want to practice and help other people know how to do that. In celebrating America's freedom, we recognize what's right with America. We value and provide freedom for people. We welcome others into our country. We offer opportunities for success and excellence. We help others in need, and we've recognized our need for God. When you recognize how blessed we are as a nation and that we are the ones who are blessed in and sometimes even because of our nation, then number two in the message, how can we show love for our country? How do you do that? How do you show love for your nation? First of all, obey your country. Paul said this in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Obey the government, for God is the one who put it there. All governments have been placed in power by God. So those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God. God Himself established government. Now, don't misunderstand that. He's not pleased with every form of government. Humans have taken it the wrong way in many cases. But God established government. A broken, sinful world and broken, sinful people are the ones who created governments that oppress people and benefit only a few. That's not the kind of government God has established or that He wants. God intended life to be an ordered process. God is not the author of conflict, confusion, or chaos. When He entered the world, He did so in a very orderly fashion. When He created it with order. And one of the ways He established that was through government. Folks, people cannot coexist without some form of government. Now, I realize sometimes in our nation it's hard to coexist with our government. I don't even want to go there. Listen, when I'm saying all these great things about our country, my country, I'm not saying that everything's perfect. We could all sit here and talk about it, complain about it, whine about it. But there still are things we're grateful for. That's what I want to focus on. We all have rules and guidelines. You have them where you work. Some of you have them in your neighborhoods. They're called HOAs. Some of you have guidelines in school. In every area of life, there are guidelines, and without them, there'd be chaos and confusion. Without some necessary rules, there wouldn't be freedom. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. Give Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. All right, folks, here we go. This is talking about paying taxes. It's one way that we follow the rules of our nation. We pay taxes. Now, I'm like you. I think we're overtaxed, and I think our tax money is wasted by our government sometimes, many times, most of the time. And And I think you would be wise to use all the tax breaks and credits you can get to save your money in your hand that you worked for. We all know that we work from January to April just to pay our income tax for that year. It reminds me of the businessman who was near death and he asked that his remains be cremated and the ashes sent to the IRS with a note attached that said, "Now you have it all." Taxes are actually mentioned in the Bible. The rate in the Bible in biblical times was between 23 and 30%. Kind of rough. One way we show our love to our nation is we pay our taxes. The fact is, in America, at least we have some benefits. Paved roads, hospitals, schools. We get benefits from our taxes. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, many countries that they live in and they pay taxes more than we pay get nothing for it. Absolutely nothing. I remember I did a mission trip to Kenya, and I had a friend there who was in seminary with me, Elijah Wanji. And I was out riding across, I don't even know what it was. I trusted him, though. On dirt roads. Not good dirt roads. And we're riding along, and just forever, I mean, the car was an old beat-up Toyota with headlights missing, and it was just terrible. But I'm having a Kenyan experience. And we came out in the middle of nowhere. There was a little hut, a couple of tables, and I could see some officers, some policemen. And I thought, oh, this must be a toll road, right? We got to pay something to go through. And came up to it, and they talked in Kenyan Swahili. And so I didn't know what they were saying. And Wanji came over here, and he put the glove compartment down, and he pulled something out. It was just a little booklet-like thing and had some papers in it. And I said, oh, they're just checking registration. And he gave it to the officer, and the officer walked away, and he came back and put it back. And Wanji said, you can go. I said, yeah, good for us. So I said, Wanji, tell me, educate me. What was the paperwork in there? He said, oh, no, there's no paperwork. I said, what are you talking about? He said, there was money in there. He said, that officer makes his living by taking people's money. Oh, for the government? No. He keeps what he gets. That's how he... Well, what do you get for it? He said, I'm down $40. And Wanji gets nothing for what he's paying those officers. I know our government isn't perfect, but at least we get something out of the taxes we pay most of the time. Christians show love for their mercy by obeying our nation. Next, you show love for your country by honoring your country. Honor your country. Romans 13:7. Give everyone what you owe him. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Despite our imperfections, America is still considered the greatest country in the world. People all over the world want to come here to live and to enjoy the blessings that we enjoy, to have the opportunity to make something of themselves for their family. It's ironic that the people who live here sometimes show the least respect and honor for our nation. The representatives who attached their signatures to the Declaration of Independence knew it was going to cost them something. And the cost would be high. Five were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary War, and another 2 sons were captured. 9 fought and died from wounds and hardships from the war. Folks, liberty never comes cheaply. Honor our nation. I love the song that Lee Greenwood sings. If tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thanked my lucky stars to be living here today, because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died who gave that right to me. And I'd gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Because there ain't no doubt I love this land. May God bless the USA. Honor our nation. Honor our first responders. Honor our military, those who put their lives on the line all the time, who go into harm's way to protect our freedom. Honor our nation. And last, something else we can do to show our gratitude for our nation is to pray for our country. Pray for our country. Do you know what this is? It's a quote. See if you remember it. Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon you, and we beg your blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. It is the 22-word prayer that was declared to be unconstitutional and which led to the removal of all prayer from public schools in the case of Engle versus Vitale. 22 words took prayer right out of school. I have a little bit different take about that. As long as there are tests in school, there's going to be prayer in school. First Timothy chapter 2 says this, verses 1 and 2. I urge that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Folks, it's our responsibility as believers to pray daily for our nation, for our government. Every day. Folks, the way God moves is through the prayers of His people. We pray, letting God know what we need, showing our dependence upon Him, and God works. We don't pray limits what God will do. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God is speaking, and He says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Folks, the responsibility of the welfare of our nation is not placed on the shoulders of government, nor educators or politicians, bureaucrats, because the greatness of our nation or any nation doesn't start nor end with them. The responsibility of the welfare of our nation is placed on Christians, because the greatness of our nation starts and ends with the blessing of God, which comes through humble prayer. Anybody have any plans for the 4th of July? We're going to forego 4th of July plans. My nephew is having us over on the 8th, the weekend, for a 4th of July celebration. And I want to tell you, my nephew knows how to throw a 4th of July party. He doesn't live in a restricted area where you can't shoot off fireworks. So he spends hundreds of dollars. And he doesn't buy the little It's big stuff. Lives down a little cul-de-sac, and it's big stuff. One year we went there, he had a t-shirt on that said, sorry, I can't hear you over the sound of my freedom. Jets, ships, bombs, men and women marching, shooting, Utah Beach, Normandy, D-Day, Iwo Jima, World War I, World War II, bullets zinging by, the sound of freedom. There's another sound of freedom It's the sound of Jesus teaching others about grace and love and forgiveness of God. It's Jesus rebuking and scolding and admonishing hypocritical religious leaders who thought they were better than every other sinner. It's the sound of Jesus praying to God, "Take this cup from me. It's too heavy for me to bear." It's the sound of Jesus being whipped, carrying the cross, groaning, grasping for breath. It's the sound of the spikes being nailed through Jesus' hands into the patibulum, the horizontal bar of the cross. It's the sound of the cross making a thud as it falls to the bottom of the hole that would hold the cross up where Jesus would die. I hear Jesus asking the Father to forgive the criminal beside him who repented. And Jesus said, "You'll be with me in paradise this very day." I hear the sounds of the frightened grave tomb guards when they realize that Jesus is not there anymore. I hear the sound of the resurrection. I hear the sound of a victory more than what our country can give us, a spiritual victory over death. So one day, we can live with God forever. That, my friends, is the sound of true and full freedom. I'm grateful for America and the freedom that God offers us through this country. I am even more grateful for the freedom that God gives us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the blessings we enjoy. Whether we lived in this country or somewhere else, nobody can take that away from us. Amen? Let's pray together. God, I am very grateful, and I'm pretty sure we all here are grateful that we live in this nation. We didn't choose to be here. You chose for us to be here. Why? I really can't fully understand that, God, but we are blessed. And with such great blessings come great responsibility. God, we acknowledge there are reasons America's a good country, and we're thankful for those reasons. We also realize our nation falls short. And we pray somehow for healing. Lord, we pray for a miraculous revival, because that's what it's going to take for you to change the people in our land, including us in this church right now. Intercede, Father. Start another glorious time of revival that we've had in decades and centuries past. And use us, Lord, to be part of the solution. Now bless us as we have this time of response. Pray, Father, that we would respond just in the way you want us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together, okay? God, thank you for letting us be here, for giving us the freedom to do so, even giving us the freedom to choose to come here. We're very grateful, God, for the blessings we have in and through our nation. And we're burdened for the many ways that America still needs to be fixed, and the best way it can start, Father, is with spiritual revival. Amen. So you keep on working, Holy Spirit. Use us to be a part of that. Bring salvation to people. Change our lives as only you can. And in doing so, our nation will become better. Give us, Father, a good celebration now and on Tuesday, whenever we celebrate. We'll remember, Lord, that ultimate freedom comes from you. Bless us now as we are dismissed. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.